Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you will enjoy listening.
So this course that we're doing, it's all in the mind, think yourself happy, is about the power of our mind. It's about our mind's power to change how we experience things. And that power is dramatic. As we go through the course, what becomes apparent is just how comprehensive the power of our mind is. And the mind ultimately is the creator of everything, all of our experiences. We experience everything through our mind. So our mind is extremely important in how it colours what we're experiencing. But actually what we gradually discover is the mind is the creator. Last week, we were looking at how our mind can create unhappiness. How we can, you know, I use this expression, inappropriate attention. There's a way the mind can focus on something in an unhealthy way, amplifying the problem until it becomes an issue. Like it didn't need to be, but our mind can zoom in and make it a big deal. There's a story, I don't know what the right framing, acquaintance, anyway, someone I know, a bit, not very much, a little bit. He's a monk in Western Australia, and he's an abbot in a monastery, and he had to build a wall. Well, he had to build a wall. They needed a wall. The monastery needed a wall. They didn't have a wall. They needed a wall. I don't really know why they needed this wall. Anyway, they needed a wall. And the way it often works in Buddhist communities is it's very much volunteer-based. And that doesn't necessarily mean all the skills required are available. And so there was no one who could build this wall. And there was a lot of like, well, who's going to do the wall? And then eventually, well, all right, then I'll do it. Okay, great, fantastic, you do it. So he builds this wall, and it's a great wall. It's a great wall. It's still standing. It surrounds the monastery. It's doing its wall's job. It's great. But the way he tells the story is, it's obviously changed now, but it highlighted something in his mind that he felt he really needed to notice and then later deal with, was that he built this wall. The wall's doing a wall's job, standing up, doing everything, doing whatever it needed to do. But all he could see when he looked at that wall were the one or two bricks that were just out. Like, there's hundreds of bricks in this wall. It's not a little wall. Hundreds of bricks. It's a perimeter wall around a monastery. Hundreds of bricks. There are hundreds of reasons to feel happy and proud. That's my first wall. And look at it. Look at it standing up doing its job. Amazing as that. That's fantastic. I saved our Buddhist community loads of money. This is a good thing. But there's so many reasons to be happy. And a few little ones to be unhappy. And the mind, our mind, I don't know about your mind, but for many of us, our mind can be very effective at zooming in to that little bit. And that's the whole story of the wall. The whole story of the wall is those few bricks that are out of order. I messed that up. All I can see is that. So that's showing the power of the mind, showing the mind's ability to zoom in, hone in on something, and then make that the story and make it a problem. That's inappropriate attention. Now, what we're going to discover is that the mind could do the opposite. The mind could do the opposite of that. Where we talk about inappropriate attention, we could also talk about appropriate attention. There's a way of focusing that finds happiness in any moment, but even in the most difficult of moments. You know, another story of a friend of mine, I know this one a little bit better, this friend, but anyway, lives in Wales, so I was chatting with him recently. And I remember him telling me about how he first came across these teachings. It was in a particularly difficult moment in his life. His marriage had fallen apart, wife had left. The relationship, unfortunately, had soured his connection with his children. They very much sided with her, and they were very unhappy with him, and they weren't talking, and that's unbearable. also his, you know, part of the stresses and strains that led up to this was that work wasn't going well, and basically he was going bankrupt and the house was going to be repossessed and all of it. Like, you imagine just one thing after another. And it kind of reached a tipping point where he just, I don't know if you could call it a breakdown, but he says he was just walking through the streets of his town, Southampton, and he was just kind of in a daze, just like beaten by life, basically, just sort of in a daze. Obviously, something in his subconscious was working on his side, because he found himself in a bookshop, in the self-help section of a bookshop. And the way he says it was, there's one of Venerable Geshe's books, Introduction to Buddhism, just fell off the shelf and landed on his foot. And part of his mind thought, maybe this is a sign. And at the back of all of these books, there's a phone number. So we're going back quite a long time. But he rang that phone, because what he realized is he was reading it, and he knew what he needed to know was there, but he wasn't in a state. And he just, I just need to talk to someone. I just need to talk to someone. So he called the number and says, can I talk to Geshe Kelsang Gyatso? And they went, hang on a minute. Do you mind holding? No, I don't mind holding, sure. And then a few minutes later, well, I don't even know if it was a few minutes, can you make next Tuesday at around 11? And he was like, yeah, I can do that. It's a bit of a train journey, but anyway, he was like, well, there's nothing else going on in my life, everything's falling apart. Sure, why not? I had the sign, I'm going to follow the sign, why not? And Tuesday, a couple of days later, finds himself at Manjushri. They can take him up, he's in Geshe's living room. Geshe comes in and he says, so, you wanted to see me? What's the thing? And he just starts telling this story, and he's crying his eyes out. He's just like, oh, this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening. And he just cried. And then eventually Geshe just sort of grabs his hands and says, you're so lucky. And he went, sorry, were you not paying any attention there? Because that's not the thing I'm feeling. Like, I'm not feeling the so lucky. And Geshe just explained, you're so lucky, you're here. And what gradually dawned on this person, and it changed his life completely, was yes, all of the horrors of his life. No one's pretending that isn't the way it is. But he'd also taken his first steps on a spiritual path. Like, yes, all of this, the context is devastating and heartbreaking and so forth, but the way his heart has responded, he's taken the first steps on a spiritual journey that Venerable Geshe could see was going to take him to places that he couldn't even have imagined, levels of happiness and contentment and the ability to benefit others, that he wouldn't even have been able to conceive. But Geshe could see that you're so lucky. You've taken these steps. So the wall story, everything's good. There's one little thing wrong. Awful. This story, everything's fallen apart. But actually, if we focus in another way, we find true happiness in that. So a lot of this is about what we focus on. And now, I want to start sort of gently, but where I do want to get to is that harder stuff, when it is difficult, things are going wrong, things are falling apart. But where is the happiness in that moment? You know, in Buddhism, we're not afraid to talk about suffering. You know, like in most of society, you know, like even just the way we address each other. So how are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. We're fine. Everyone's fine. Everything's like, we're just big, happy, fine. Everything's great. We are successful human beings. In general, we don't go beneath the surface. But in Buddhism, like Buddha's first teaching, the most famous teaching in the Buddhist tradition, the Sutra of the Four Noble Truths, the first thing he says is, you should know suffering. And we think, yep, no, I think I've got that one done. But actually, there's a lot to it. Anyway. So yes, we're not going to pretend, because some of the ways we try to be happy requires us to pretend what's happening isn't happening. And inevitably, that eventually fails. Like if we're trying to, you know, I hope this is okay. But my dad went through a phase of saying affirmations to himself in the morning. You know, like, it clearly kind of hyped him up for the day, because I think it was something like health, wealth, and unconditional love are mine right now. Like, oh, that feels good. Health, wealth, and unconditional. The thing was, he was going through a divorce, so it seemed a little bit, and obviously he's getting older and things are falling off, and you know, he did okay, but the divorces did address that a little bit as well. Anyway, so, So we can say things to ourselves that aren't true, and it sort of perks us up a little bit until the truth kind of, you know, protrudes too deeply. And then it's like, well, I'm kind of lying to myself. So that's not what we do. We look for the truth. We look for the truth. And in every situation, there is a truth that can bring us happiness. In some situations, it's more obvious. Obviously, in some situations, that's going to take some looking. Okay. So starting small, then, you know, there are simple things that will give our mind buoyancy. Like one of the most important reflections, and I think more and more people appreciate that these days, is gratitude. Acknowledging the good fortune we have and the kindness we've received. You know, counting our blessings. Because it's very easy to focus on everything that's wrong. But quite often what happens in life is we have something, we don't appreciate it, we lose it, and we suddenly think, why didn't I appreciate that when I had it? You know, an example of that is good health. And I hope you're all in good health, but that won't last, I'm afraid. Sorry, spoiler alert. I didn't come here to hear that. That's too miserable. But it's also true. But it's possible to go through a whole life not acknowledging and enjoying the fact that we have good health, which is such a blessing, such an extraordinary blessing. And then when we become suddenly sick and we're in a lot of physical pain or we're now restricted in what we can do, suddenly we're like, oh, this is awful. But we didn't enjoy it particularly when we had it. There's a real importance to just stopping and acknowledging the good things in our life, the good fortune we have, the kindness that people are showing us. You know, it's very easy to be a little bit entitled and just think, well, of course these people are here. Like, of course of course the shops are there. That's not kind. They're making money off me. I'm being kind to them by going in and giving them my hard-earned money. They should be grateful to me. And maybe they should. Yes, sure, fine. But equally, what would our life be like if there weren't any shops? Like, imagine if we had to grow our own food. And maybe some of you think, I do. But anyway. But for most of us, we don't. And if there wasn't someone creating those shops, providing those things for us, suddenly our life changes into, like, you know, some sort of horrible vision of the apocalypse. Like, where do I get food from? Where do I get this from? Where do I get that? And yet for us, it's easy. You just go into town. Anyway. Another simple reflection is the good qualities of others. Like, if we want to have harmonious relationships, then it is important that we set aside time to think about the good qualities of the people we have those relationships with. And sometimes, like at the beginning, you know, for example, if it's a romantic relationship or whatever, or a friendship, then actually, unconsciously at least, we do a lot of that. We focus a lot on the good qualities, but it's quite normal, quite common that after a while we stop doing that. We stop focusing, like dwelling on the good qualities. But the other part of our mind is definitely going to be cataloguing and listing the faults. There's going to be part of mine that's like, yeah, they do that. They don't do that. They do this really annoying thing. And if we're not careful, that will slowly overwhelm our appreciation of the person. And it doesn't, like, this is, I'm genuinely suggesting this as an exercise, as a meditation. Like, we stop, we bring the person to mind, what's good about them? And hopefully this doesn't go wrong. I don't know. I can't think of a single thing. What am I doing with this? But no, hopefully what happens is we find a good quality, a kindness that they have, something they do that we value, and it warms our heart. It makes our heart closer. That is conducive, like we're feeding the health of that relationship.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.